Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're going to discuss Envision with Tony Sanchez. He's the Senior Vice President of Government and Community Strategy with NV Energy. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Larry Mathias, Mary Lau, and Bill Uffelman. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers, Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp that works for you, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Your business deserves the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Gwin Room in the Governor's Annex in Carson City. We are pleased to welcome back to the program Tony Sanchez. He is Senior Vice President of Government and Community Strategy with NV Energy, and that's where we want to start this morning. Pleasure to have you back on the
program. Pleasure. Thank you, Sam.
NV Energy revealed Envision. Would you briefly lay out what this is? And this is really a blueprint to go to the legislature for them to work on it, correct?
It is. And this is actually something that's happening all over the country right now. It's become very clear that there's going to be continued regulation of coal assets, high carbon-based assets throughout the country. Our company right now has about 15% of our plants are currently in coal. The Envision plan actually sets forth a not too far of a long-term plan, but one that would get us out of the coal business and into more renewables, energy efficiency, as well as natural gas plants.
Once again, I said this with Michael Yakira. I don't want to set up any kind of debate between you and Senator Reid over this, but Senator Reid has made it very obvious that he wants Nevada to be out of the coal business and has been putting pressure out there regarding this. But the coal-fired plants were all online to be taken out of service anyway.
Over the next decade.
But it's now going to be a much shorter time period.
It is, and it's not just Senator Reid, but obviously Senator Reid is the sitting United States Senate Majority Leader and is going to play a part in any energy policy going forward for our country. In particular, obviously, has an influence in Nevada, but we have an obligation to look after our what's in the best interest of our customers at NV Energy with proper oversight of the Public Utility Commission as well as our elected officials. And this is something that we've put a lot of thought into. It is something that our sister utilities are doing around the country as well. We're taking advantage of the fact that renewable prices are dropping. Natural gas prices are at a historic low right now. And it is a big move for our company, but it's one that's going to kind of de-lever the risks associated with being involved with coal. We have an ongoing series of litigation related to our units in Southern Nevada.
This is the Reid Gardner plant.
The Reid Gardner plants. It's been the subject of much focus. But we will work with Governor Sandoval, Senator Reid, all our public policymakers, as well as our utility commission, to make sure this is done in the best interest of our customers.
There's a great irony on a financial basis that with fracking, releasing lots of natural gas, and shale oil, that we would actually be seeing costs becoming much lower for the American customer, because we wouldn't be having to import as much energy from other places, especially unfriendly places. But at the same time, renewable energy does have an additional cost to it. And there's an irony as we look at, you know, government intent to move forward into the future. But at the same time, there is going to be a cost to the customer, including to the Nevada customer.
Absolutely. We look at our energy portfolio as a kind of a basket. What types of energy do we have available to service our 2 million plus customers throughout the state? We certainly don't have nuclear. We don't have hydro power like a lot of other states do. So we're limited to natural gas, our current coal assets, as well as energy efficiency and renewables. We take a look at all those and run that through the process at the Utility Commission, and this is something that we believe is going to be less of a risk to our customers going forward. As President Obama said in his inaugural address, as well as the State of the Union in January, coal regulation is coming to existing coal plants. As you know, we tried to build a coal plant about 6 years ago, and that wasn't didn't work out with much success. But we understand that. At the same time, with the energy resources that we do have, whether it's natural gas or renewables in particular, keep in mind the costs of all these technologies are going down. Solar costs have, by some estimates, have dropped in excess of 50% over the last 3 years alone. So it's something that we would also like to, as part of our plan, actually invest our own shareholder dollars in renewable energy, really for the first time, which I think is groundbreaking, and I think that's what's got a lot of folks in the renewable energy and the environmental community very excited.
Well, you know, one of the things that's interesting is that a lot of Chinese companies that manufacture solar panels have been selling them below cost and going bankrupt because they've been trying to be competitive, and the result has not been good for them.
And you could say that with any commodity, right? I mean, today just might be solar panels, but I know our U.S. Trade regulations have recently tried to address those issues to put our U.S. manufacturers on a more level playing field. Not only would we like to see just projects built, but we would like to get some of that manufacturing as well, and it's our hope there's going to be 600 megawatts of renewables associated with the Envision plan as it's been proposed. It's our hope that will help to attract companies that will come here and do some manufacturing. That's where a lot of the real jobs are going to be, and I think we're starting to see some interest. And as you know, it's Governor Sandoval's, one of his main tenets of this session and his term is the economic diversification and development of Nevada, and I think that this issue plays nicely with those themes.
One of the things that would be a great economic driver would be the ENN project near Laughlin, where they not only want to build a power plant, but they also want to build a factory to be able to build these solar panels.
That's right.
But that's dependent on them getting a purchase power agreement. Southern California Edison said that they didn't want to buy that power. It then came back to NV Energy. The portfolio standards are up again next year, correct?
They are, but we have been very successful, and we're very proud, we're very proud to say that we're meeting our standard. We're actually exceeding the portfolio standard today. But we have enough renewable energy right now through 2020. So without looking at a forward-looking policy plan like Envision, we wouldn't anticipate needing any other power purchase agreements for the next 7 years.
Okay, so does that mean that project is essentially dead?
I am not.
Because they say they won't move forward.
Sure, and certainly we talk to all developers, and I'm not exactly privy to the specific plans, but I do understand that they're trying to get business throughout the Southwest, and we certainly would be one of those ideal markets as well.
Okay, let's take a break more with Tony Sanchez when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Tony Sanchez. He's the Senior Vice President of Government and Community Strategy for NV Energy. And we've been talking about the Envision plan that has been laid out here at the legislature.
Yes.
Now, does this change the way that NV Energy would be governed from a regulatory point of view? Would there be oversight taken away from the PUC and given to the legislature?
That is something that we're particularly focused on. Our current integrated resource planning statutes are very well thought of, you know, throughout the regulatory world and even outside of Nevada. However, those have a short-term aspect to it. It only allows us to really look the next 3 years out. Under kind of a hybrid of that, still under the auspices of the Utility Commission, though, and their oversight, this would allow us to stretch out a little bit longer over the next 7 years, which would encompass our Reed Gardner plants as well as our coal assets that we have in Arizona as well. So we've tried to use the same type of structure within the integrated resource plan, mind you, but at the same time allow the commission to look a little bit further out and make sure we're doing the right thing.
Okay, but does it take oversight away from the PUC and give it to the legislature, or how does that work?
I think the legislature makes policy. You know, regulatory bodies implement that policy. For example, Nevada has a 50-year history of the Nevada legislature has a 50-year history of implementing specific legislative policies. The Renewable Portfolio Standard, for example, passed in 1997, laid out exactly how we're supposed to meet our portfolio standard, how we're supposed to meet that over the next through 2025. That's a real long-term vision look for our company. In addition, distributed generation, for example, the legislature told us several years ago, spend $250 million of your customer dollars for rebates for distributed generation and do it this specific policy way. So there's a long history of the legislature setting specific bookends, mind you, and that's what they're doing.
This is where either private citizens or companies generate their own electricity and it goes back into the grid?
Yes, it would be like a rooftop solar array on your roof, for example. But when you say, Sam, you wanted to get a rooftop array at your house through our solar. That's fantastic. Through the solar generations program, you received a rebate from NV Energy. That came from our customers. Our customers helped subsidize that. You probably also got a federal tax incentive, and then you had to come up with about a third of the cost yourself. That's the type of minutia that's in existing law that the legislature has seen fit to pass in years past, and Envision is no different from that.
Okay, as far as renewable energy goes, with potentially, for the most part, the exception of geothermal, you have to have backup for wind and solar, correct?
So you need a megawatt for a megawatt, and folks don't realize that because, you know, you have what's called a capacity factor. That means, for example, solar is operating only one-third of the time because it might be cloudy or it's nighttime, for example. And until, there's some exciting things happening with respect to a project we have in Tonopah right in the center of the state, and that is going to be able to provide storage, actually, in this gigantic molten salt tower that once the sun goes down, the power will come out of the molten salt batteries for a couple hours after that. And that's going to be the first project of its kind in the country, and it's something we're proud to be at the cutting edge of.
One of the things that's going to be very good is that if you've got to build these power plants, that's going to be jobs, it's going to be construction, that's going to be good for the economy. It doesn't create a lot of permanent jobs, correct?
Our natural gas plants certainly do, and those are proposed as part of the Envision plan. However, construction jobs, we're estimating close to 4,000 construction jobs associated with both natural gas construction as well as the renewable construction.
One of the concerns, and you know this very well, mm-hmm. is that the cost of energy in Nevada is quite high. It's second only to California in terms of its cost. How does that work with economic development to bring people here?
Sure, and I think you have to ask, why are those energy costs higher? Well, we don't have access to, for example, our sister state next door, Utah. 80% of their resource comes from coal, and they have coal mining in the state. We don't have nuclear like California and Arizona do. We don't have huge quantities of hydroelectric power like they do in Idaho and in the Pacific Northwest. Folks, if you took an average survey, think that we get most of our energy from Hoover Dam. Unfortunately, we get less than 1% of our energy from there. Those are cheap forms of energy. You're right, our power is 30% cheaper than in California, much cheaper than what you see in Texas as well. We're very competitive in the Mountain West, and that's something that's very important to us. And we're going to continue to look at, make sure, you know, we're providing a commodity to our customers at the best possible price, recognizing the limitations that we have. And it's an undeniable fact that costs of coal and carbon regulation are going up. So this is also something that's going to take some risk away from our customers as well.
But for the bottom line, though, for the company itself, you are protected because you get a certain percentage rate of profit no matter what the costs are, correct? You're protected in that sense?
Sure. For example, there are what are referred to as merchant power companies, and they can make an unlimited, whatever the market bears. We're limited to about 10% by our Public Utility Commission. The fuel that comes in, whether it's natural gas, those are straight pass-throughs. We don't make money on that. So we make our dollars investing in projects that we have throughout the state and making sure we provide a reliable product.
Briefly here, we're running out of time. Mm-hmm. Are we going to see more transmission lines built from Nevada into California where there's the potential for the power company to actually make profit and generate economic development for our state?
And as you know, that was a subject of much debate last session. Right now, we're focused on finishing the big transmission line called the One Nevada Line from Ely to Las Vegas. Right. That's going to interconnect the north and the south for the first time in our company's history. It's very exciting. We're going to be able to ship excess assets we might have in Las Vegas at any given time to northern Nevada. We'll be able to harness some of the additional geothermal that's in northern Nevada that we can't get in the south. But to your point, I think every state is looking at, you know, portfolio standards and what they can do. California has taken a position that they want to generate everything in their own state. We'll see. That it's something that we're going to take one step at a time.
To paraphrase Senator Reid, it was kind of good luck on that.
Exactly.
Because of regulatory situations.
It is. And in the 2009 session, we were successful in being able to purchase some renewable energy out of state for the first time because there was some excess hydro in the Pacific Northwest. And we got it at very good prices for our customers.
And we are so way over time. Thank
sure.
you so much. I want you to stick around and
absolutely.
Stick around for our next broadcast. We want to have a completely different topic.
Okay.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
There are a series of bills that I signed that improved the delivery of education in the state of Nevada. I also think about economic development. My priority is to get Nevada working again, and we signed a bill that dramatically changed economic development in our state and is now working and attracting business here. I'm Nevada Governor Brian Sandoval, and I am Nevada proud.
Our Silver State is battle-born, and we are Nevada proud.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we know you need health insurance that covers your family as they grow.
Sorry, Dad.
I'm good.
And if you don't get health insurance through work...
Are you okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers coverage your family can count on.
Whoa, slow down, Chief.
Especially parents. Whether you need basic coverage for yourself or more protection for your family, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers a variety of coverage options for different needs and budgets. If you're self-employed, retiring early, or can't get health coverage at work, call Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield today for a free quote. Call 1-800-868-0714 or visit anthemforhealth.com to compare plans and apply.
Get that number?
I wrote it down.
Affordable coverage from a name you can trust. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPoint panel. As always, Larry Mathias is here, the Executive Director of the Nevada State Medical Association. Mary Lau is President and CEO of the Retail Association in Nevada, one of our proud sponsors. And Bill Uffelman is President of the Nevada Bankers Association. Larry, you brought up a topic just before we hit air here, which is that San Francisco prosecutor is going to go after Nevada for the dumping, allegedly, of mentally ill patients into California. This is actually something, in various ways, that's been going on for a long time in this state.
Well, I don't know about what success, what obviously is a politically charged activity, but regardless of the San Francisco prosecutor, the issue about having an adequate mental health system serving the needs of Nevadans with mental and behavioral health problems is coming. Is percolating up again as an issue that we haven't addressed adequately over the years. It's come up in the gun debate. It's come up in the certainly in the Assemblyman Stephen Brooks issue. It's an issue that's there. And we haven't adequately dealt with it yet.
Mary, you know, in the past we had champions like Senator Townsend and Senator Sheila Leslie on behalf of people who are suffering from mental problems. Do you see somebody coming to the forefront here in this session? And when we don't have any money, where do you find the money to be able to in any way take care of this?
Well, I haven't really seen anybody come into the forefront this session, as far as it goes, because they're just now, we're starting to climb out of our hole, and they're starting to be able to add money back into situation, you know, into budgets and stuff like this. But mental illness goes back even in deeper into society. It's like, why are we having more people that need medical assistance for mental health? Why are we having so many people on the drugs and stuff to treat mental health and things and what's happening in our society and our family? So it's like everything else is going back into the core of the family.
And so, you know, how do you resolve this?
If it was an easy fix, it would have been done. Unfortunately, life itself has gotten more complicated and people have gotten less responsive and responsible. So I don't know how you fix all of that. But mental health, as Larry will say, is not an easy subject. I mean, you can't, in the gun debate, they wanted to have certain mental health standards. Well, there's areas of the country where you can involuntarily commit somebody for observation because you're mad at them. And they get that commitment, and then the family sort things out, or they get out and all hell breaks loose kind of thing. But, you know, it's not a true mental health issue. So it's so complicated, and you just can't get to it. It's like anything else. You cannot get to it for one session, and you do need a champion for that. But you also need, like everything else in medicine right now, is revamping of what's done, how it's done, how's the ACA going to handle it. And, you know, we're in a real flux right now in the United States because of ACA. And mental health is part of those 27,000 pages of regulations.
And for those that may not know, the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare. Yeah. Your thoughts on this bill?
All the above. It's interesting this morning, the notion of how is Obamacare going to work in the next year? Secretary of Health and Human Services, Sebelius, you know, said it isn't as easy as we thought it was going to be. I could have told him that in the beginning before they even started, but that's the reality of it. Mm-hmm. And I think until we have a budget that's more flush with, you know, with recovery, that we then allocate and decide that, you know, mental health care is important, and it is important, whether we decide, you know, that it gets this many hundreds of thousands or it gets this many millions. But when we can do that then you know we can begin to focus in on it. But in some ways, giving a little bit is less helpful than giving nothing, because it creates expectations that you then can't fulfill.
As with all the healthcare reform, fundamentally we have a challenge to have an adequate workforce to deliver the services that are needed. Recreating the healthcare system to be able to deliver services better. That's certainly going to be true in mental health. It's going to be all the way down the road. So even with the Affordable Care Act, actually funding mental health and behavioral health services isn't going to be that much easier. I think we're going to have to look at the resources we have in the state and figure different ways of putting them together. The School of Medicine, the nursing schools can be part of an answer if we rethink how we train psychiatrists, how we train psychiatric nurses, and maybe having them roll together with the state's need for delivering services. That there are options if we don't try to repeat exactly the way we've structured things in the past. And if we're not creative, I don't see how we do, how we accomplish any of the health care.
Well, we can't even do it. We cannot act as we've always acted now. And that's the one thing I'll say that the ACA probably gives us is a chance to rethink and come into the modern world and stuff, because everything's going to have to push down. You know, you can't have those turf battles between a licensed psychiatrist and a marriage and family therapist. Somehow our education system's going to have to merge people a little closer. You've got doctors that are going to depend more on assistants and nurses and stuff. I mean, healthcare is changing because we don't have enough healthcare professionals.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Discover home furnishings handcrafted in a palette of authentic American colors. Casually priced for the comfort of your home. American Colors, only from Ethan Allen.
In the past, you would never find television outside its natural habitat. The family room. But now, Charter has released it. Into the wild!
Look there, a live ESPN baseball game at the beach.
CNN in a laundromat.
True Blood on HBO, hot donating blood.
Now Charter gives you over 20 digital networks available on the go, more than ever before, all at no extra charge with Charter TV.
The Disney Channel on a joke. Are you seeing this?
There's always something for you.
Country legends Ronnie Millsap and Crystal Gayle in concert Friday, May 24th. For tickets, call 824-4467.
Tell me no. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Have you heard Sunny 106.9 lately?
The 80s, 90s, and now. Today's Sunny 106.9.
Family fun this Sunday. The Reno Kite Festival.
News 4 at 11 with Elias Johnson.
The news you need before you go to bed.
Weather with Brandon Woolley.
The forecast you can trust.
And sports with Brian Samudio and Julia Lopez.
All the highlights.
Weeknights at 11.
Our next broadcast, more with Tony Sanchez. Different topic, though. Immigration.